or a tornado or a hurricane or a typhoon or a drought of some kind, and our brethren are in want, they're hungry, should that be of any concern to us, you suppose? It ought to be painful to us to learn about it. And good news from a far country ought to make us rejoice when we hear about good things that are taking place in other parts of the world. There are places in the world now where people are much more receptive to the gospel than people are here in the United States. And there are places where you can go in and preach for a month and baptize 100 people. And of course, they've been taught before you get there by some of the local people. But there's a harvest. And that ought to be a source of great rejoicing to all of us. We ought to be concerned about the Lord's people wherever they are. Thy kingdom come. Pray for the kingdom. Thy will be done on earth, he said, next, as it is in heaven. Thy will be done. Remember when Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not what? Not as I will, but as thou wilt. Thy will be done. He prayed for God's will always to be done. You know, that last part of that, though, used to puzzle me a little bit. He said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, there's a rank among angelic beings. I don't understand everything about it that my curiosity leads me to want to know, but there is an order, there's a rank. Michael is called an archangel. Well, it wouldn't make any sense to talk about an archangel unless there's some angels that are not archangels. So, archangel. Then we read about Jesus when he was elevated to the throne of God. He's above principalities and powers and mights and dominions. I don't know exactly what the distinction is between principalities, powers, and mights and dominions. But there's an order. There's a rank there. And over in the book of Jude, in the 6th verse, and again in 2 Peter chapter 2, and verses 4 and 5, he talked about angels who sinned, who kept not their proper habitation. And he said they are cast down and reserved under fire in chains awaiting the judgment of the great day. Now what that says is that even among angelic beings, when somebody gets out of place, out of rank, and does not fulfill his assigned responsibility, God cast him down. His will is done in heaven. And I tell you something, if God's will is done in heaven, if he would not tolerate insubordination even among angels, we need to be very careful that we not be insubordinate down here. What do you think? We need to be very, very careful about that. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then he said, give us this day our daily bread.
Before you go there, I wonder how many people even realize God has a will anymore.
I don't know. I don't think it matters with a good many people that God does have a will. And it needs to be respected, both in heaven and here on earth. All right, he said, give us this day our daily bread. Did you notice he did not say, give us our monthly bread, our weekly bread? How many days can you live at a time? The last verse of this chapter says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We cross bridges a lot of times that we never get to. We worry about things. But he said, give us this day our daily bread. Now, I want to ask you a question. If we ask God to give us our daily bread, that means that we don't have to go to work tomorrow, doesn't it? Huh? Wouldn't it be a lack of faith in God if you had to go to work tomorrow? If you ask God to give you your daily bread? How about that, sir?
I think it's talking about spiritual bread.
Oh, you think so?
Not physical bread, but spiritual bread. The word, the bread of life.
Well, he gives us that all right. But he also gives us richly all things to enjoy. Every good and perfect gift is from the Father of lights. Who?
Many blessings fall upon the good and the bad.
Yeah, now that's one angle. I hadn't considered that. What else? All right, if man won't work, don't let him eat. Who is it that makes it possible for us in his providence to have jobs and to provide for our families? God ultimately does that. When we plant a crop and it grows, it comes up, and we eat the bounty of the land, who makes that possible? Whose laws of nature were set in motion anyhow to do that? They're God's. And who gives us the strength to do the work to make that happen? Well, God does. And we need to be grateful to him for it. We ought to be thankful. When we sit down to eat, we ought to thank God for what we have. Of course, we need our spiritual blessings too. We are renewed day by day in our spirits, the Bible teaches, that we may grow into the image of Christ. And so give us this day what we need. Provide for us what we need, and then be thankful to God for it. Give us this day our daily bread. And then he said, forgive us our trespasses, or our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Forgive those who sin against us if we expect God to forgive us. Now, down in verses 14 and 15, he elaborated a little more on that. He said, if you don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. You mean to tell me that if you've sinned against me and I don't forgive you, that God won't forgive me either? Is that what he's saying? Huh?
That's what he's saying.
Exactly what he's saying, isn't it? Exactly and precisely what he's saying. We need to have a forgiving spirit. A number of passages deal with this over in Colossians, the third chapter. He talked about forgiving one another as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. In every service, I don't remember being in a service on the Lord's Day among God's people anywhere that I've ever